Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on WTMR 800 AM, where the master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. Well, happy Thursday to all of you. We're in a brand new month here, September 5th, and today's the feast day of St. Mother Teresa. And so I'll talk a little bit about Mother Teresa and also go over some of the readings for this coming 23rd Sunday, which is pretty interesting because it talks about, you know, being spiritually blind and spiritually deaf, and the fact of real people being deaf and mute. And so the big question is, are we spiritually blind? Are we spiritually deaf? Is there actual people who are that? And how do we diagnose and treat those people who are spiritually deaf and mute? Because Jesus gives an example of what happens. And so stay tuned to some of these questions if you want to hear and find out about it, and also hear about some insights regarding Mother Teresa. Before we go further with the program, let's say a Hail Mary together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. All right. Today, as I mentioned, is September 5th, and I'm broadcasting out here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. It's a beautiful day. You know, again, I mentioned this is the feast day of St. Mother Teresa. And if you recall, when she passed away back, it was 1997, if I'm not mistaken, you know, within that same week, that Princess Diana also died. And it was really something so sad to have two great people in the world who affected the world in such great ways were, you know, both passed away within 6 days of each other, you know, from a princess and beloved Princess Diana to the Nobel laureate and, you know, saint in the making at that time. We all knew it, that Mother Teresa would be that. And so here we are, you know, on her feast day. And she actually, when she died in 1997, that was actually 100 years to when St. Thérèse Lisieux had died in 1897. And so many people think that Mother Teresa was named after Teresa of Avila, especially because Mother Teresa's name was spelt like Teresa of Avila with a T-E-R-E-S-A. It wasn't a T-H-R-E-S-A, like Thérèse. That's the French way of spelling with the T-H. And so the story goes, supposedly, the reason why she didn't spell it with the T-H was because somebody else had that spelling in the convent. And so she used the different spelling. But really, she was named, she named herself after St. Thérèse of Lisieux, also a Carmelite and doctor of the church, just like St. Teresa of Avila. But, you know, St. Mother Teresa is very special, as we all know, because she spoke with so much love and so much mercy to people that even if they had various complaints about God or the Catholic Church or even hatred towards, she always responded in, you know, very loving and very merciful way. I don't know if you all remember when, you know, she spoke. I thought it was at a breakfast, a prayer breakfast at the U.S. And, you know, how she spoke right in front of the president at that time and his wife about, you know, defending life and spoke out against abortion. She disarmed people, just how this very petite woman lovingly but directly and clearly spoke out in defense of life, defense of the unborn. And so, you know, just give credit to her in what she has done. You know, there's some great quotes. You know how I like talking about quotes from various saints that I wanted to just share some of the quotes that was very special. You know, she has this poem called Anyway, and it's kind of a long poem, but essentially when she says, you know, that to just love people anyway, like essentially no matter what they do against you. And so there was one verse that I wanted to say, or one part of those of the poem, that it said, if you find happiness, people may be jealous, be happy anyway. And that just always struck me, because, you know, it's so strange. Well, it shouldn't be strange, but it's just so common also that people can be so jealous of not only Mother Teresa, but just of any, you know, nun or priest that is so good in the world. Like, and the thing is, people, like, it could be of one's own, you know, home. So, for instance, you know how Jesus said that a prophet is not accepted, is accepted except in his own hometown or in among his own household. And so he was talking specifically about, you know, a relative, and that would be St. James. And interestingly enough, the second reading that we're going to read today is from this St. James. And I will go into, like, who is this St. James compared to the brothers James and John? And so to point out a difference there, and how important that a letter is from St. James that we have, because he was the one that was Jesus was specifically talking about, that one is not accepted, or a prophet is accepted except in one's own hometown, except in one's own household and or kin. So that's a thing, you know, people were even jealous of, well, you think about Padre Pio, right? All the great things about him, or Saint Pope John Paul II. Going back even to some of the Carmelites, like I mentioned earlier, that Saint John of the Cross is a lay Carmelite, is a Carmelite priest, a friar, and even there was a lot of jealousy among his confreres, to the point where they thought so bad of him that they imprisoned him for 9 months. But in those times, that actually was like a 9 month confinement of like being reborn again, just like how we were all in our mother's womb for some time, mostly, you know, the average is 9 months, right? But some babies can be born prematurely or a little bit delayed in their delivery. But again, symbolically, when St. John of the Cross, the Carmelite mystic who was imprisoned by his own brothers, his own confreres, his own Carmelite friars for 9 months, you know, that changed his whole life, where he wrote some great works that we still have today. And so my point about bringing this out is, people like Mother Teresa was deeply caused division, in the sense that the good that she was doing, even though she helped the sick, the dying, the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, that caused controversy, as if she was doing it for selfish reasons, or she wasn't doing it well. Or, you know, that she used incorrect or wrong healthcare or healthcare methods. And so that actually ties in with the gospel of today as well. And so I hope you stay tuned as we get further into this. Here's another quote that I wanted to share here as far as with Mother Teresa. She said that the most terrible poverty, and she's seen a lot of it, right, of course, being in Calcutta, she said, the most terrible poverty is loneliness. and the feeling of being unloved. So if we look at it that way, it's we are impoverished when we are lonely, and we are impoverished when we feel unloved. And St. Mother Teresa gave love to strangers. She gave love to them, gave people respect, especially on their deathbed when they were sick, suffering, hungry, thirsty, and dying, and gave them shelter. She did all these works of mercy. And so I encourage all of you, too, to do works of mercy like I mentioned there, where, you know, again, we feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, to visit the imprisoned, bury the dead, give shelter to the homeless. I don't know if I said that. You know, I don't think I mentioned six. I missed one, but these are things that the Lord will be judging us at the end of our life, and He actually talks about this in Matthew, that He's going to separate the right from the left, the sheep and the goat, those who obey versus those who disobey. And a big criteria is, again, these works of mercy, specifically these corporal works of mercy, where, you know, what we do to help people with their body, right? But then there's also works of mercy that are spiritual works of mercy, where, you know, we pray for the living and the dead, we admonish sinners, we instruct the ignorant, you know, we bear wrongs patiently. These are just some of the spiritual works of mercy that we can do in addition to the corporal works of mercy. So that's just a little bit on Mother Teresa. Saint Mother Teresa, who died back in September 5th, 1997. All right, so now let me switch over to one of my favorite books that I've mentioned before. This has been part of the program for a long time now, called The Wisdom of the Saints, 365 Days of Inspiration, from Matthew Kelly's Apostolate DynamicCatholic.com. Be bold, be Catholic. And so I wanted to read a couple of these quotes here. And for today, actually, September 5th, the quote is really regarding truth. And it says, proclaim the truth and do not be silent through fear. And that's from St. Catherine of Siena. And says, proclaim the truth and do not be silent through fear. Now, again, coincidentally, these quotes were not put in because of the saint of the day, and being the saint of the day is Mother Teresa. This actually fits perfectly with what St. Catherine of Siena said, that to proclaim the truth and do not be silent through fear. So here is that great example of, you know, the divine coincidence or God incidence, that this quote just perfectly fits how Mother Teresa was. She proclaimed the truth, and she wasn't silent, and she wasn't fearful. Many of us, you know, of this day and age are very scared because of, you know, going against political, the term PC, that it's not politically correct, as if that's the be-all and end-all judge or criteria of what we should speak, whereas we know that the way, the truth, and the life, the truth itself is Jesus, and that we have to not be scared to speak the truth, because when we speak the truth, we are actually speaking Christ as well, and people are actually craving for the truth, which will lead into the whole moral of the story for this program today. Are we spiritually mute? Are we the ones who are mute because we're spiritually scared to say what is spiritually true. So that we'll get into it once we read the scripture verses. And here's another one, quote from September 3rd from this book, The Wisdom of the Saints, regarding life. And this is from St. John Henry Newman. And this is a different St. Newman. Those of us in Philadelphia are very aware that the St. Newman that we have is pronounced St. John Neumann, and he was the third or the fourth bishop here of Philadelphia. We're blessed in Philadelphia to be, as far as I understand it, the only city in the United States that have two canonized saints, right? St. Catherine Drexel and St. John Neumann. But this quote here is from St. John Henry Newman from the Oxford movement, he was an Anglican, right, from England. And so he talks about life. And here's the quote from September 3rd from the book Wisdom of the Saints. And it says, "Fear not that thy life shall come to an end, but rather fear that it shall never have a beginning." That sounds really perplexing, but let me read that again from St. John Henry Newman regarding life. He says, "Fear not that thy life shall come to an end, but rather fear that it shall never have a beginning." So what does that mean? Well, to me, one way I would interpret this is he's talking about to have the beginning of eternal life, that many of us are really scared of dying, and that's a natural, a normal, thought, and a normal way of looking at our own life, is that we have a healthy worry, not, I don't know if I use the word worry or anxiety, a healthy fear. There's good fear and there's bad fear, right? There's good fear of the Lord, and there's a bad fear of where we think, oh no, we're going to go to hell or get punished. Well, that's the bad fear. That's the part where St. John Henry Newman is talking about, is fear not that thy life shall come to an end. And this is where many people have this fear. Oh, we're going to get punished or we're going to go to hell. Well, if it makes you change your life, then there is some good to that imperfect fear, right? But we want to have the better fear, the perfect contrition, where we fear the Lord with honor and respect for the love of God and for the sake of God. And so if we have the proper fear, the good fear, then we won't fear the beginning of eternal life. Okay? So yes, our earthly life is something that is normal to be scared about. However, however natural it is, supernaturally, it's better to have fear that that of not loving God and not pleasing God. And that's the better fear, because we will be living forever one way or another. It just depends on where you choose, and both you and I, where we choose to spend eternity in. Do we want to spend eternity in heaven, or do we choose to spend eternity in hell? God doesn't send us to hell. We actually are the ones to choose it. We are given free will. And so we're the ones, when we choose to sin, we are actually choosing selfishness. We're choosing, we're not choosing God, we're choosing ourselves. And our selfishness, and that's where our pride and our self-love goes against the humility and charity and love that God has for us. So again, these are a couple of the quotes here from the Wisdom of the Saints that I wanted to share with you. And now let's move on to the next part of our program here, where we talk about the readings for the 23rd week of Ordinary Time for this coming September 8th. And which, normally September 8th, if it wasn't on a Sunday, you know, it would be, it would commemorate the, you know, the nativity of our, of the Blessed Mother, the birth of our Blessed Mother, right? And so, but since it's Sunday, you know, it, God always takes precedent. And so here's the reading from Isaiah. It says, for the 23rd Sunday in ordinary time, it says, "Thus says the Lord, say to those who are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be open, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right. So what I wanted to share here as far as the this reading here with Isaiah, you know, Isaiah, just as a quick background, the book of Isaiah is divided into two major parts. The first part is the first 39 chapters, and then the next part, the second part, is from chapter 40 to 66. And the first part, which the reading I just read from, Isaiah 35, that's actually directed to the people of Israel prior to them being exiled. Whereas if you read chapters after 40 to the end, which is chapter 66, that's addressed to the people in, you know, who are in exile and afterwards. And the thing that's very special about Isaiah is it's the second most quoted book of the Old Testament that's quoted in the New Testament. The number one book of the Old Testament that's quoted in the New is the Psalms. The Psalms are quoted the most. So whenever you read the New Testament, the number one book that's quoted the most in there is the Psalms, and second is the book of Isaiah. And so this is really important that we're hearing here about Isaiah talking to the people, you know, before they were exiled. And so we should learn from these words, because this is what happened to the chosen people. They were exiled. And, you know, the first part of Isaiah, it's important because it talks also about the good king Hezekiah and how he fulfilled certain things. But of course, Isaiah also talks about the son of David, somebody who is greater, of course, than David himself. And of course, that would be Jesus. And so here's the prophecy. We just read some of it. And it says, the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag, and the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. So the question is, well, who are these people that are, you know, deaf and that are blind? Is it just really those who are physically blind and those physically deaf? Well, yes, but also even worse are those of us who become spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. And this is the thing that we have to be aware about, that there's many layers in the scriptures that warn us, and this was the warning before they were exiled. So if we're going to try to make this practical, how are we taking this to heart? What can we do and learn from the Old Testament and from Isaiah and the people there and the people of Israel, that we can avoid repeating this kind of history. You know, the world we live in today, I don't have to be the one to say this. You know this. You just look at the news and see what's going on in Philadelphia, it's just all over in the four corners of the United States. There's so much bad news going on, but at the same time, we have to trust in the Lord and His mercy, and we can't be spiritually blind or spiritually deaf. I mean, if we're attuned to things in the news, then what are we going to do and what are we going to say about it? Okay, and so this goes hand in hand with the works of mercy of how we're going to help each other, pray for each other spiritually and physically. What are we going to do to help, you know, those who are in need? And how are we also going to protect ourselves physically, but most importantly, spiritually? How are we going to protect ourselves so we too won't go into exile? And I'm not trying to scare you guys about like war or like we're going to be invaded and we're going to get in exile. But what's worse actually is us going to war against God, like rebelling against God and His church. And for us to leave, the one true church that Jesus established, which is the Catholic Church, or those who call themselves Catholic and then remain in the church but don't even follow what the church teaches. You know, you might have heard that term, you know, cafeteria Catholic, right? That one goes through the cafeteria line and picks and chooses, you know, which foods they want to eat. And many times, more often than not, we choose something that really appeals to us but might not be as good for our heart, you know, or good for, you know, our metabolism, whether it's for, diabetics and so forth. Yet we choose all these, you know, sweets and desserts and so forth. So at the same time, for those of us who are called or, you know, cafeteria Catholics, we have to be aware of to not choose what's only to our liking and then ignoring what's really good for us. Specifically, we need to be frequenting the sacraments. And what do I mean by that? We as Catholics should make sure we go to Mass every weekend, and that fulfills the third commandment of keeping the Sabbath day holy. So we're obligated to go to Mass every weekend. We can't miss Mass unless we have an extenuating circumstance, which the church, you know, exempts us from, of course, like when we're sick or laid up in the hospital, or we're extremely frail or old to the point that it's unsafe for us to drive because our eyes don't work so well, right? Or that we can't control the car or the weather is so bad that it'll endanger us. Things like these are extenuating circumstances. But for the most part, that we're supposed to go to Mass every weekend to fulfill that. So we have to fulfill those obligations of keeping the Sabbath day holy. We cannot just pick and choose and say, you know what, I'm just going to sleep in today because, you know, football season is starting up, or you may see your husband or your grandfather or your son, like, say, hey, they're not getting out of bed. You know, they just want to stay in so they can just go watch the game or something like that. And I said, that's ridiculous. You know, you don't want to do something that breaks the commandment. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour now. It went by so fast. And we'll come back after a short break and we'll talk about the other readings. And we'll continue on this theme about spiritual deafness and spiritual blindness. So hang on tight and we'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture, where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on WTMR 800 AM, Where the Master Reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And we were just finished talking about the theme of spiritual blindness and spiritual deafness and asking the question, are we spiritually blind or are we spiritually deaf? And how do we figure that out if we are suffering from this? And so I just read the first reading for this coming Sunday's Mass from Isaiah. And I was just also warning that we can't be like cafeteria Catholics, where we pick and choose to follow or to do what we think we want to believe and do. So I gave the example about keeping the Sabbath day holy, the third commandment, that we can't just pick and choose and say, oh, you know, this weekend is, you know, the beginning of the NFL season. Actually, it starts tonight. I love football, but so it's on my mind. But at the same time, I know what takes priority. God is always number one, and the way we should make sure about that is that we go to Mass. So just because, you know, that the NFL season started, that make sure that your husband, your sons, or whoever may be interested, I'm saying males, mostly males like football, but I know, you know, women can like football as well. So, or your grandfather may be into that, you know, watching the game, but we want to make sure that none of our family members or friends miss out on going to Mass. And which reminds me, actually, I'm going to share this story real quick, and it's not to scare you, but this is a true story that if some of you who heard me speak, whether speaking as a Catholic retreat director or a Catholic speaker at Malvern Retreat House here in Malvern, Pennsylvania, or on YouTube or at various talks or conferences, I may give this a little anecdote about disembodied souls, okay? Now, what that means is, well, let me just tell you the story. So there was this pastor that he was closing up his church, and he made sure that all the doors and the windows were locked, and he was at the front of, he was in the altar area and came down the main aisle towards the narthex, the lobby of the church, and he made sure the doors were locked, and he went and then came back into the church, and he was in the very back. But when he turned around to walk up the center aisle, he sees now that the whole church was filled with people, and he was wondering, like, and said out loud, how'd you guys get all in here? Because when he was walking down the aisle, you know, from the altar to the narthex, to the lobby, nobody was there. he went when he went and locked the or checked the doors and they were locked, came back in, that they were filled with people. And when he said this, he saw one of the people turn to him and essentially shush the pastor. And he was surprised. And as he looked more intently at the people, especially the person that shushed him, he noticed that he could see through the person. And that's why the title of this is, this story is Disembodied Souls, which means that these were souls, these were people who were dead, that they were without their body, meaning their body is in the grave, they're disembodied souls, and they were there, and he saw that they were chained up there together, sitting, and what he found out was that they were sentenced there to do their purgatory for not giving proper honor and in reverence, keeping the Sabbath day holy. They weren't being reverent. They weren't paying attention. They weren't, you know, really participating in the in church. And they were still worthy of going to heaven, but they would have to be purged of this imperfection because they were didn't outright break the third commandment, but it was apparently a minor infraction where they're not really paying attention. They didn't outright commit a mortal sin, but it was under that third commandment, in other words. So so they were there fulfilling that part of purgatory, and then they would be released. But anyway, the pastor uncovered that it was because they didn't give proper reverence that they had to now give reverence there, undo their time, so to speak. So my point here is when I'm giving you these commentaries from the scripture, that I'm hoping that when you hear me talk about these readings like I have from Isaiah, and the next one is from James, and then the last one would be a gospel from Mark, that you wouldn't be spiritually a blind, deaf, or mute about it. And how can we be considered spiritually blind, deaf, and mute? Well, it's where, let's say you go to Mass and you hear the person speak about the readings and you can hear the priest or the deacon give the homily. But then once you drive off and you go back home, you won't even remember what was just said in the homily or not even of the readings. And you just go, I include myself too, is that we just go our merry way, not remembering knowing what to say. We're spiritually mute then, that we act like we don't know what we just heard and what we just saw. Like, we might have saw the priest give the homily. We might have heard the lector or the deacon or the priest preach the words or read the words and then preach it. But why can't we remember it? Are we having Alzheimer's? Are we having spiritual Alzheimer's? Or are we just now spiritually mute that we don't even know what to say anymore? Well, my point is this. It's not that we have a steel trap for a memory. I'm not saying that. We all forget things. So we'll forget what we ate for breakfast. We'll forget what we ate for dinner, right? It's only those rare circumstances that is super special we'll probably remember, right? Whether it's really awful or really fantastic, we'll remember something. Well, you may look at, Mass as something spiritually awful where the homily is really bad. Or you may think that there's nothing in it for you, that it's boring. Well, in that case, this is why those of us here on In His Sign Catholic Radio through WTMR 800 AM, this is why we're trying to wake you all up. We're trying to make sure that these words that are the truth and the life and the way to God will reign in your eyes and ears and your heart, that you will be able to remember something and to share it. Because if you think about it, if you love something, don't you want to talk about it? Don't you remember what you love? Even, let's say, from a restaurant that you ate, you may be able to, you may be so eager to tell somebody about it. You know, say, oh, Dr. Anton, you know, I went to this little hole-in-the-wall place like nobody suspected, and it is the most original food, you know, in this cuisine that I ever found, or whatever it may be, right? Or, you know, again, like, since it's the in the news a lot, and we're from Philadelphia here, you know, the Eagles are out in Brazil, right? And so we have in the news about a couple of Brazilian restaurants in the area. So, you know, that's a good opportunity that people may want to try out Brazilian food, right, or South American food to experience the cuisine. Well, we have something better here in the Catholic Church. We actually have the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. He's our creator. He's the one that can read our hearts. He knows our every thought, our every word before we even say it. He knows where we're going to end up. In other words, are we going to end up in heaven or hell? We're the ones that choose to go to heaven or hell. But he knows. In other words, we're not automatons, robots that are predestined without any choice of our own or say in the matter. We have total say in the matter. And so this is where we want to make sure that we are not spiritually deaf, dumb, mute, blind. And here this second reading talks about that. And this is from St. James. And I promise you to talk to you about St. James. And this St. James is very important. So this is not the St. James, like where we talk about James and John. Those were brothers, the sons of thunder. They were the ones whose father was Zebedee. Right, this is James the Less. He was less because he was smaller, and he was a civil servant. He was from the city of Capernaum, and he died in the year 62. And he was about 60 years old when he died, and he was stoned to death. And he was actually the one that I mentioned to you that was considered the brother of the Lord. Now, when I say brother, meaning, you know, relative, not blood brother, because the ancients, the Hebrews, they didn't have a separate name to say cousin. So they would call each other, you know, brother. And so this brother, this James, he was actually the bishop of Jerusalem later on after his cousin Jesus, you know, died. So, and you can look that up in Acts verses 15. But he was the one that Jesus was talking about in Mark, that even among his own kin, meaning his own relatives, would not accept them. So James the Less, this, you know, bishop of Jerusalem, later on, he converted. He believed that his cousin was the Messiah to the point that he too gave up his life. And gave it up through stoning. And the other thing about St. James that I wanted to say was he's so important that out of all the books in the New Testament, his epistle, okay, is considered like wisdom literature. So very similar to like the Old Testament where you have the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs or Sirach, or Psalms, or Ecclesiasticus, the wisdom of Solomon. These books are the wisdom books of the Old Testament. Well, similarly, the wisdom book of the New Testament is James. Very short. I encourage you all to read it. It's only 5 short chapters, and you will gain a lot of wisdom, spiritual wisdom, which is greater than earthly wisdom. And so let me read what it says here. It says, my brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in your glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man with gold rings and fine clothes came into your assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand there, or sit at my feet? Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? So here it is. Now, you know, we're not supposed to have rash judgment, and that's what St. James is talking about. This is part of the wisdom literature that I'm saying. He's giving us the wisdom where we can't have rash judgment, meaning jumping to conclusions. So there's two types of judgments that we cannot do, right? We cannot have rash judgment where without evidence we think so lowly of the person who looks poor, and we think so highly of the person who comes in wearing fine clothes. So imagine if you see somebody come in a mask, right, and they're wearing a suit and tie and really, you know, matching suit and nice shoes and so forth. You may think this person's, you know, a dignitary of some sort, or some rich guy, and may treat him well. Or you may see, you know, a beautiful woman with a beautiful dress, and wearing a hat or something like that, or even or some ladies wearing a veil, then we may put them up higher than the person who just keeps their head down and looks poor, right? So we have to watch out of the rash judgment in treating the person who's well-dressed better than the person who is dressed poorly. And so, you know, Jesus can appear to us in as angels unaware, or come looking like a beggar, like St. Francis of Assisi encountered Jesus that way, that Jesus looked like a beggar. And even St. Faustina, she encountered a poor person, a poor man, and lo and behold, that was Jesus that she ended up feeding. So this is what I mean, right? We cannot judge or have rash judgment. However, we are to judge. Jesus actually says that when you judge, we have to judge rightly. He says that, he tells us that, you know, we can look at the sky and we can tell if it's going to rain or be sunny. And so he actually says to judge for yourselves, you know. And he says, what about the signs of the time? You can judge the weather and determine if it's going to be sunny or not. But look at the signs of the times. Don't people realize that Jesus is the Messiah and that his kingdom is at hand? Well, look at our times today. Our times are seemingly apocalyptic. Like, when are we going to get our act together and make sure we frequent the sacraments to make sure that not only we go get communion, but our soul is in grace? So that means we should have gone to a confession and remain in grace. In other words, not have broken one of the Ten Commandments, not committed mortal sin, so we can receive communion with making sure that our soul is pure and clean. And that way we can receive the different blessings and graces that the Lord has for us. And so this is where we are allowed to judge, but we're not allowed to have rash judgment, or the second type of bad judgment where we say that person's going to hell. Only God would know if a person is going to hell. Even, you know, if you see one of these YouTube videos, there's one of Matthew Kelly or even Jimmy Akin talking about, from Catholic Answers, talking about that the church hasn't officially declared anybody in hell. Even Judas, you know, the church can declare somebody a saint that they're in heaven, but they don't have a way of, you know, doing the opposite of declaring somebody's in hell, even with somebody like Judas himself, even though it looked like all likelihood he could be there, but there is no official proclamation, is the point. So we can't make that rash judgment, or we can't judge somebody, oh, you're in hell, or that person is in hell. You know, we can warn our loved ones that if we or they don't change and have mortal sin on their souls, that a person can go there if they don't repent. That's a different story versus saying, oh, you're you are, you know, going to hell. They don't know that unless, of course, the person repents and gets their sins forgiven. So anyway, so this is here where we can judge, but we have to make sure we judge rightly and don't make these rash judgments. So let's go to now the gospel, where it's from Mark chapter 7. And let me start off here. It says, again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the district of the Decapolis. When people brought him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him, he took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ear and spitting touched his tongue. And then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, he has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Here, this is Mark the evangelist. And remember, St. Mark was the person who supposedly, you know, did it. We wasn't following Jesus directly. He wrote these down based on what St. Peter shared with him. And so St. Mark, the evangelist, he's not an apostle. He was writing down what St. Peter told him. And so when we hear the word Ephphatha, that's an Aramaic word. And so what's shocking here is, remember how I mentioned about St. Mother Teresa, how, you know, she wasn't a doctor, she wasn't a nurse, she wasn't trained in healthcare, yet she had this call within the call. She goes help the hungry, the thirsty, the sick, the lonely, the dying. She gives them care, even though she's not a doctor, she's not a nurse, she's not trained in healthcare, and people would put her down because she's not a doctor, a nurse, or in healthcare, about how she would do things, but she did things out of love and through the works of mercy. Well, let's look at the divine physician here, God Almighty, Jesus Christ himself. What did he do? Did he follow the rules of healthcare or medicine or nursing care? What did Jesus do? He takes his finger, you know, it says here, he takes his finger and he puts it in the man's ear. He didn't use an instrument except his fingers. And then spitting, he touches his tongue. I mean, imagine, that's not very sanitary, is it? Right? And then he looks up into heaven and he groans. And then he says the command in Aramaic, which is their normal tongue. That's their normal, you know, way of speaking there. It was Aramaic. And he says, Ephphatha, be opened. And immediately the man was miraculously cured. So my point was that Jesus didn't use, you know, high-tech instruments. He used his fingers, and he spit, and he touched the person, and he made groaning sounds, and he made commands. Yeah, and yet, what will people put him down for not following, you know, sanitary, you know, procedures? Well, not in this case, of course, because what God did here is he recreated, you know, this person in the sense that he opened his eyes and ears and mouth physically, but also at the same time, he wants us to open, make us a new creation and open our eyes, our ears, our mouths, so we won't be spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, and spiritually mute, that we will remember what is done to us when we go every Mass, that we receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ in the flesh, and we receive our Creator, and He could make our minds and our hearts alive and brand new again. Because one thing that I want to make this connection is, there's a saying from St. Augustine that the punishment of mortal sin is spiritual blindness. So when somebody cannot see that something is morally wrong, it is more likely than not, that if a person is spiritually blind, it's because there was mortal sin that prevented them from seeing what is right from wrong anymore. So this is one way of determining, or a possibility, well, why do such people don't know that this is right from wrong? Because maybe, I'm not making the rash judgment, I'm giving the possibility that they might have committed a mortal sin, which now blunted their conscience and thinking that, if this is right for them, doing this mortal sin, that everything else is like a house of cards, just falls in, and they now think the rest is bad too. It's kind of like how we, as kids, well, we see that we're dirty, so well, we're dirty anyway, so it doesn't matter if we get, the rest of our clothes dirty. Well, some of us think that way. Well, since, I've committed this sin, or I can't get better from this addiction or this problem, that I might as well just go all in and do all sorts of sin. That's like the worst kind of logic. There's a saying by the great exorcist, Father Chad Ripperger. He said, sin makes you stupid, if you think about it. So when we do sin, we're actually just being plain old dumb or being stupid, which means we're spiritually dumb and spiritually mute and spiritually deaf. And the way to be alive again, to see, hear, and speak the truth is, again, get clean in your soul. Go back to confession, then get the medicine of God, which is the Eucharist, which is the food for the soul, but also keeps us in grace so we can fight the good fight, so we can stay in grace, so we can keep doing the will of God. Because we don't want to be one of those people that Jesus will say to us, that we said, Lord, Lord, don't you know who we are? We ate and drank with you. We went to Mass. We did this for you. And he may say to us, well, I don't know you. Why? Because we didn't do the will of God. We got to do God's will. And what is God's will? Is to love God and love neighbor. We have to love God, love neighbor. He makes it that simple. Love him. To love him is to obey him. And the way to obey him is to hear him. So let him open your eyes, your ears, your hearts to his very word. Come back to the faith, or make your faith more open to his word and his forgiveness. And you will have your life become so much more alive and fulfilled and joy-filled and happy. So I hope that some of my words here are help you, inspire you, and inform you, and that you'll be able to remember what was said here, little parts of it, so when you go to Mass this weekend, you'll gain more. Well, this is Dr. Anton Raimundo on WTMR 800 AM, Where the Master Reigns, on In His Time Catholic Radio. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you join me every Thursday from 5 to 6 here. God bless you all. Have a good evening. Mm-hmm.